annals of history, there has been some mighty duos.
Abbott and Costello.
Kirk and Spock.
Pippin and Jordan.
Mulder and Scully.
Batman and Robin.
Hawk and Keating. Well, maybe not that one.
Don't waste your time on me, son.
But you get the idea.
Now, from a small bedroom in Queanbeyan,
these two men
will try and make sense of the world with their words.
And if words fail them, there's always this.
Ben Edwards with a huge finish.
But let's hope it doesn't come to that.
The Ringer. Thanks to The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen,
and Lang's Auto Centre in Queanbeyan.
Please welcome your hosts of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
Scotty, I used to be on the Radio Masters.
And Ben, the Governor Edwards.
Well, you know, summer's on the way when we've got the ceiling fan on low in the studio here at Scott Masters Media for the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. I'm Scotty Masters.
I'm Benny Edwards.
And we're here thanks to the crew at Lang's Auto, 44 Yass Road in Queanbeyan, and the crew at the Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen. Benny, it's starting to warm up. And last week, like, it was about as hot as it is now. It was about a 20-degree day. But seriously, after about 15 minutes into the podcast, mate, you looked like you'd gone 12 bloody rounds.
And,
you were sweating.
And a swim.
Yes. Yeah, I thought I was a sweaty dude, you know, in summer.
Mate,
but
I'm next level.
Man.
On a full training day in summer, I've drunk over 10 litres more than once.
Of water.
And not even hard. Just that's out of just pure thirst.
Wow.
That's 10 kilos of water.
Water,
it's
yeah.
It's a crazy.
Because that would kill some people.
Yeah.
And no, it
that's
has.
What they used to do in the Slalom Witch Trials. They'd fill the witches up with water and chuck them off the ladder.
Yeah.
And keep doing it till their guts burst from and they'd drown internally.
Awesome.
Good times.
Again, these are the weird things on a podcast about stupidness and fighting, and you hear stuff about the Salem Witch Trial. So who knew?
We've got it all, man.
Indeed we do. We've both come prepared with uppercuts
this
week.
It's a double.
It is a double uppercut this week. I'm going to have a crack. Even though last time I tried it, the guide to fighting was an absolute schmozzle.
I liked it.
It was because Joshy Tonner was here. I was a bit nervous.
He
was getting ready to go to K1. And I was
he's got the
nervous.
Eye of the tiger.
He does.
He's there now. He's
well,
pumped up.
I saw on Facebook, Benny, that you were speaking to him. He'd lost his luggage. He'd had a bad flight over. But as you said, when you fought Jamal Ben Sadiq, you'd lost your luggage and everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, with 10 seconds to go, you came out of nowhere.
Yeah, mate. I've lost my luggage twice now. I lost it once in New Zealand. And after that, I always carried my mouth guard in my carry-on.
Ah, yeah, because that's the one thing you can't do without.
Yeah, and so for like 20 flights after that for overseas, I had my mouth guard in my carry-on all the time. The only time I didn't bloody do it was my New York flight because I'm like, nah, it's all good. That was just a one-off. Lost my bloody luggage. But all you need, as long as you've got your blood test all handed in, and even that can be done in 48 hours.
Yeah, right.
As long as you're there, you can get a shit mouth guard.
So did you get shorts. Just a cheap mouth guard or did you get a decent one?
I spent all of November 24th, the anniversary of JFK's assassination, in a New York hotel trying to boil and bite a $2 mouth guard in a coffee machine, a coffee maker, because they wouldn't bring a kettle to my room, so they bought me a coffee machine, and it wouldn't work unless you'd put coffee in it. So I'm brewing coffee all day, trying to boil and bite this piece of shit mouth guard. I'm stressed out. So I'm stressed out of my head. I'm about to fight a 6'6" Moroccan in 6 hours.
In Madison Square
Garden. Guard.
Yeah.
My shorts will look like boxer shorts because they're my trainers. It was a shamal. But all you need to do is show up. And Josh will nail it, mate. He's been training like a champ.
This
is his time right now.
I hope he does well. And hopefully we'll get him on before the show ends up because this is our final five episodes to go. So the five Wednesdays through November and then we go on our break. So Joshy Tonner, if he is listening overseas, mate, best of luck from us and hopefully we'll get him back in the studio.
Yeah, he'll be here, mate.
So the Guide to Fighting coming up. What have you got in Biffarama for us, mate?
The UFC 205 final preview. It's coming up. It's the biggest show ever. They've broken all kinds of box office records. It's going to be awesome. There's a welterweight title fight. There's a strawweight chicks title fight between two crazy Polish chicks, and there's a bit of a backstory there, which is pretty interesting as well. As well as Pacquiao and Vargas, they're on this weekend.
Yep.
The full-time senator who's also moonlighting as a boxer now. So some pretty interesting stories behind there as well.
Stevie P, I think next week he's going to be back with us. He's over in Duterte's neck of the woods at the moment. He keeps sending us cutouts from the newspaper, all this stuff Duterte's saying that's not being broadcast here in the press.
Yeah, it's not a big deal over there.
No.
His ratings are through the roof.
Yeah, he's like the Trump of the East. So it's very interesting. Ben's segment from last week, Stuff That's Happening Somewhere, Part 2, will make a return. Looking forward to that.
We cover penises and underwear.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fantastic. All right, well, let's get stuck into some music. And a band whose songs feature, you know, penises, underwear, vaginas, if we're going to go that far. We've played them before on the show, but we're going to have a crack at some more Steel Panther right now. This song's called Community Property.
I like it.
I would give you the stars in the sky, but they're too far away. If you are a hooker, you know I'd be happy to pay. If suddenly you were a guy, I'd be suddenly gay. 'Cause my heart belongs to you. My love is pure and true. Is community property. You're the only girl that I like to screw when I'm not on the road. When I come home, my dinner's made and the front lawn is mowed. I'll kiss your mouth even after you swallow. From my head to my feet, I think of you when I can't help but fondle my meat. I see your face every time that I go out and cheat.
Community Property by Steel Panther.
How good is that song?
It's amazing. And it's right up your alley. I can see you rocking out to that at the concert.
Man, they are one of the best live bands I've ever seen. I mean, they are a comedy act, there's no doubt. You listen to their lyrics, but musically, they're sensational. And they are one of the tightest bands I've ever seen.
Yeah, they've been together a long time.
Yeah, just awesome.
Well, to correctly finish my back announce, I'm Ben, you're Scotty.
Yes.
And this is the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
Oh, look at that.
Look at that. That's professional.
25
man.
Episodes in, the man is cracked it. That is a ball tearer, Ben.
So now we're off to our eye, formerly of the Sky. Now he's an eye in a spot of bother.
Yeah, I think Larry,
an eye on the side of the road.
I think he lost more than his shirt on Melbourne Cup Day.
He didn't bet on Al Madden.
Lazza here with the traffic report that stops a nation for the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. I'm standing on the corner of the Barton Highway and Thoroughbred Road in Mitchell, and it's busy as fuck. You may be wondering why I'm standing here. Let's just say I might have a little bit of a gambling problem, and I may have hocked the chopper to pay off some debts to the Russian mafia. But enough about that. As far as the eye can see, it's just drunken 20-year-old ladies wearing their fascinators and carrying their high heels, followed by a tribe of drunken 20-year-old skinny jeans-wearing lads and one 39-year-old pervert. Taxis and Ubers are lined up five deep for kilometres, just itching to get their $73 fare for taking people from the racetrack to Braddon. This party's going to go all night. I'll be back next week, either with the chopper back in flight or missing three fingers.
Two men, two microphones, and no idea.
When you put your hand into a bunch of goo that a moment before was your best friend's face, you know what to do.
You're listening to the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty Masters and Ben the Governor Edwards.
That's exactly what it is. I'm Scotty, that's Ben, and our wonderful sponsors. We've got two of them here, and without them, we wouldn't be able to do this podcast. And the Butcher Shop in Dixon and Kayleen Benny, they're under the pump massively at the moment. It is Christmas season in the Butcher Shop land.
They certainly are under the pump. I was there today. I'm all stocked up on everything.
Yeah, did you run into Ian?
Yeah, Ian was there with Sess. Is it Sess?
Well, his name's Cameron, but everyone calls him Sess.
I like it.
Yeah.
Why is that?
He's a good... I haven't asked the question. I don't want to ask the question. He's just a nice guy.
I'm going to ask it, man.
He hands me bacon. I did say to him today, I said, what do you like better, Cameron or Sess? And he went, I don't care.
Wow.
So it doesn't bother him.
Well, on a completely non-butcher related topic,
yeah.
You know what bugs me, man?
What?
When someone's name is like Adrian.
Yep.
Or Adam. So
yep.
the abbreviation of Adam would be Ads.
Yep, yep.
But guys that are called Adrian go with Ads as well because they don't want to be called AIDS. That okay. Pisses me. Just own your name, man. Yeah. Hi, I'm AIDS.
Yeah. Back to the butcher shop. if you want Canberra's best meat, you've only got to go in and see them. Kayleen's open 7 days. Dixon is open six. But for Christmas, the hams.
It's ham time.
Oh, it is ham time, Benny. And their hams are award-winning. They've won awards for them. All Australian pork. A lot of the ones you buy in the supermarkets, the common brands, the generic brands of ham, that's all Canadian pork.
Yeah, overseas.
Imported
yeah.
stuff. So these are all Australian. Smoked on the premises. They're double smoked. They are just so good.
I'll talk about some Canadian pork later on.
Oh, really? Okay.
I'll just leave that.
All right, let's just leave that right there. Go and make your Christmas order now. You have to make your orders in store. So just head into Dixon or Kayleen, place your order. You will trust me. I've sent people there the last few years.
And everyone there is so nice, man.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't matter who I run into. No, they're awesome.
The staff are very, very good. So go and try the Christmas ham at the Butcher Shop this year, and you'll think Santa has been before Christmas even starts. The Butcher Shop, where the quality is remembered long after the price is forgotten.
One of them put Hopper to sleep within one round. The other had his career put to sleep as part of a business restructure.
Consider it severance pay. Take the train.
Scotty and Ben's Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
All right, now, a couple of episodes ago, I tried to do round two of The Guide to Fighting. Joshy Tonner was here. I don't know if I was nervous. I don't know what was happening, Benny, or if it was because we recorded in the middle of the day that day. But it was an epic failure, let's be honest.
Well, you feel like you weren't quite yourself, but I thought you did a good job, mate.
Okay, all right. Well, that's positive words from the big Viking sitting across the desk. But I thought we'd give it another crack. And this time around, it's The Guide to Fighting Batman.
Was there music then?
There was, Benny.
Like
that's
it.
All we could afford, though, because Sylvester Stallone owns the copyright to that, I think, after Rocky III. That's all we could afford.
He probably does.
Yeah.
He probably does. Does this have anything to do with the Batman versus Superman?
Not really.
Can I just put it out there that I thought that was silly because it was an alien versus a rich guy?
Yeah, yeah. But the rich guy had some pretty cool tech.
Oh, man.
Let's get stuck into it, shall we? It's how to beat up Batman. Now, Batman has been called many things. The Dark Knight, the Caped Crusader, the Wall Crawler. To be fair, that last one is mainly by people who know very little about comic books. But Batman, as he's widely known, has no actual powers, as you alluded to, Benny. Rather, he's trained his body to the peak of human performance, then combined it with a detective's analytical brain and a high-tech black and grey costume used to sneak out nocturnally with ease, as well as bright, shimmery yellow belt, and that's full of gadgets. That's pretty much Batman, isn't it?
It certainly is. It certainly is. And he dropped the tights. Much to everyone's chagrin.
Yeah, I liked Adam West in the 70s.
Apparently,
he
was a female slayer.
Oh, he would have been.
In the day.
He would have been 100% pure West.
Several times from.
Oh, dear. Now, he's what's known in the comics as a rich millionaire do-gooder like Iron Man, or as I like to call, you know, call them one of the more implausible creations to ever appear on the printed page, because let's be honest, most millionaires only give a shit about themselves.
That's exactly right.
It's a true story. Gamma irradiated behemoth, sure. A man with spider powers, yeah, okay, I can believe that. But rich guy helping poor people?
not in this world.
Not in this world. Now, to beat Batman, you're going to need a mental toughness and a focus equal to that of Lance Armstrong or Tiger Woods. Just bear with me there, okay? They used to have it. Step one, forget about fighting him. Seek him out and befriend him. Now, this is a common theme in my guide to fighting. Befriend people, like you did the lion in The Lion Tamer.
Kill him with kindness.
That's what it's all about, Benny. So, you know, become his pal. Be there for him. Get to the point where he's relied on you and trust you with his life. Occasionally do things to reassure him. Point a projectile weapon at him and say, I'm going to murder you. Then pretend to shoot him and say, nah, I'm just joking, Batman, and hand him back the weapon. Yeah, that'll work. That'll build trust, won't it? Just try and keep it light. That's what I'm going to say. You know, you could just go, hey, who wants lunch? Things like that. Keep it nice and light and avoid repeating lines with inappropriate intensity. For example, if he picks up the bill for the aforementioned lunch and says, you can get me next time, don't mutter, oh, I'll get you all right. I'll definitely get you next time, and then laugh maniacally. Don't do that.
He'd be onto you.
You would think so, Benny. Now, on the last day of your 10th year as friends, ask him to come over to your desk to help you with a computer game. He may balk at this because he's not known as a computer gaming expert, but be firm and insist he come over to take a look at the screen, okay? Step two, when he leans on your desk to get a look at the screen, quickly snatch his wrist, then stand and pivot. Using your superhuman strength, hurl him through the roof of the building, then quickly fly through the hole his body created and shoot your heat vision at him and grab him and chuck him into the fiery sun, thus sealing his fate. Now, all this comes with the following addendum that Ben kind of alluded to at the start of this. You must be Superman for this tactic to succeed. I hope I was clear on that part. Otherwise, it ain't going to work and you're going to die.
I'm dead, man.
You're listening to the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
Thanks to The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen,
and Lang's Auto Centre, Queanbeyan. He's put more people to sleep in the ring than you've had hot dinners. He's faced the biggest and meanest dudes on the planet.
Another dramatic finish here as Ben Edwards comes from behind. Wow!
So now it's time for Ben's Biff-a-rama.
That's insane in the membrane.
Well, Benny, I know you don't have headphones, but trust me, that was your segment intro, and it is time for some Biff, my friend.
I'm always ready for some Biff, mate.
Let's
start off. We've got the UFC 205. It is the biggest show ever on paper. They've already broken the gate record for Madison Square Garden, previously held by Evander Holyfield and Lennox Lewis, who fought there in 1995.
That's not a fight I would have picked to hold the gate record for.
Yeah, MSG, especially, you know, Joe Frazier, Ali, and all that fought there, but it was a long time earlier, and their gate was, and the gate's the amount of money generated via tickets.
Sales.
Right, okay. So it's $13.5 million
already
by Holyfield and Lewis. They broke the previous UFC record was actually held by GSP and Jake Shields for $12 million at the Rogers Centre in Toronto. Here's Joe Rogan talking about the whole card.
Winners focus on winning. Losers focus on winners. They're focusing on me. I'm focusing on history.
November cannot come soon enough. The wait is finally over. The UFC is headed to New York City.
For the longest time, the UFC's been struggling to get MMA legalized in New York. It's finally legal, and now we're going to have an event at the most iconic venue in all of combat sports. Madison Square Garden.
I'm always looking to make history every single day, and here we are again, more history. I want to introduce Madison Square Garden to this style, to true, pure combat.
There has never been a fighter who has captured the imagination of the fans like Conor McGregor.
If one of us go to war, we all go to war!
There's something about his brash nature, plus his spectacular accomplishments inside the octagon that make him the biggest star in the sport today.
I'm the most active champion there is, and I fight at all weight divisions.
He said he came here to take over. We didn't know it was going to be in multiple weight classes.
Conor has always wanted to be a multiple division world champion.
No one has had the deuce in the UFC, so I'm going to go and I'm going to get them two belts, take out two divisions. If anyone can do it, it's me. Nobody else can do it.
He won the first world title with a spectacular knockout of the great Jose Aldo.
Whoa!
this fight would be even more dangerous, taking on the much bigger Eddie Alvarez.
You're blessed that I chose to whoop your next. I'm the featherweight world champion. Now in November, I'm going to be the lightweight world champion. I'm going to wrap one on one shoulder. I'm going to wrap you on the other shoulder. And you're going to need a army to come take them belts off me. Two-way world champion. UFC is New York. The Irish are back.
So as Joe just spoke about there, the main event is Conor McGregor versus Eddie Alvarez for Eddie's lightweight title. If Conor wins, he'll be the first person ever to be a two-weight champion at the same time. It has happened before,
yep,
but not at the same time, with BJ Penn and Randy Couture both held titles in two separate
weight
divisions.
Randy had done it, yeah.
But it was at a different time.
But I didn't realize it wasn't at the same time.
Yeah, no, mate, he... even though he's not on good terms with the UFC anymore, they don't even talk. Apparently, him and Dana couldn't be on worse terms.
Really?
Because Randy is like the first guy that's tried to buy his rights and stuff. Because the UFC contracts, they're pretty
they
own
tight.
They own your life. They own your likeness. They own everything for life.
Yeah.
And Randy was the first person to try and get out of that.
That happened to me. That happened to me last year when all the stuff went down. I was on a TV ad for a client. I won't even say who because I don't want to get in trouble with anyone. But they wanted me to revoice an ad that had me and Nige on it.
Yeah.
And so, but yeah, the old boss of the radio station tried to say I couldn't say my name, that he created Scotty. And the client said, I think you find his father did 42 years ago when he spent the night with his mother. Seriously, that was the thing. They tried to stop me. They tried to stop me using my name.
Yeah, well, that's pretty weird. It's kind of weird. Like CM Punk, whose real name is Phil Brooks, he actually came up with his little pseudonym and owns all the rights to it and everything.
Yeah, trademarked.
So maybe you can, Scotty Masters can be your pseudonym and your real name.
Well, I've got the business registered now, mate. So
it's locked in.
Who knows?
You're
it's
safe.
All good, yeah.
Well, moving on to the semi-main event for the welterweight title, 77 kilos. We've got Tyrone Woodley versus Stephen the Wonderboy Thompson. It's a super contrast in styles with a powerful, explosive wrestler in Woodley versus 57-0 kickboxing prodigy Wonderboy Thompson. Couldn't be more different styles.
Yeah.
It's an awesome matchup. Here's both fighters talking about the fight.
Stevie Wonderboy wants this belt, and he got another thing coming because this belt ain't going anywhere until I get done fighting. I will retire as a champion.
Is a big knockout for the Chosen One.
I respect him as an opponent, but he's going to really hate that he has to fight me. I'm going to make everything in that fight so painful.
He knows that I'm probably the toughest matchup for him. This is the fight where I step out there and prove to the world that I should be the welterweight champion.
Never even heard of anybody entering the UFC with such an amazing record.
He is good at one thing. He's a better point fighter than me. Every other aspect of this sport, I'm better than him. He's not going to beat me in a Muay Thai fight. He's not going to beat me in a boxing fight. And he's not definitely not going to beat me in a wrestling match in his life ever.
I defeated another wrestler, and basically a very similar fighter to Tyron Woodley, which was Johnny Hendricks.
He's hurt. This is Stephen Wonderboy Thompson by first round TKO.
But I'm not taking this guy lightly. You know, he's a champion for a reason. He knocked out Robbie Lawler in the first round, so I know he's got the power to put me to sleep. Gonna be there standing there. I'm gonna be gone.
He moves like a cobra.
I do picture myself with my hand raised, and that's how I see it. With that belt around my waist.
Big, big win for Stephen Thompson.
Man, Madison Square Garden for the first time. There's no way he's beating me here. This is my chance to really take over the show and take one more step towards being legendary.
So the third last fight for the women's strawweight title is featuring two crazy Polish chicks, basically, with the champion, Joanna Young-Jacek, who's on a 14-fight win streak. The 52-kilo, 29-year-old Dynamo is the number one female fighter in the world, pound for pound at the moment, and the number eight, pound for pound between both sexes. She actually found out today, during her kickboxing career, which she did before MMA, she was actually trained by my old mate Paul Sawinski in Poland.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I just found that out. So she's had three successful title defenses and holds the records for the most leg kicks in a UFC fight at 70. And she holds first, second, and fourth place for the strike differential records.
Yeah.
And so that's how many strikes you get over your opponent.
Yes.
So in number one and number two, she was 117 strikes ahead of her opponent.
Wow.
And second place, which she owns, is 113 strikes ahead of your opponent.
That's getting busy, isn't it?
That means you got your ass handed to you.
Yeah.
So she's taken on fellow Polak Karolina Kowalkiewicz, who Joanna actually beat in her second ever MMA fight in 2012 via rear naked choke.
Yep.
Now, Joanna actually asked for the fight because in Poland, obviously they're both very well known.
Yeah.
Everyone sort of puts them on the same level, and that just infuriated Joanna.
She said, I've already beaten her.
And yeah. She spoke to Dana in person at the UFC office and said, get this f***ing bitch in the UFC.
Wow, that's a direct quote, is it? Yeah, wow.
Yeah, she's a firecracker. Wow. Like, she's a sweetheart, but she's like a really nice, awesome to the fans, awesome to the media, but with her actual opponent, she death stares and talks shit. It's pretty cool. So Karolina, in her own right, she won her first three fights in the UFC and is undefeated since her loss to Joanna.
Yep.
So that is going to be absolutely
it's going to be a good fight.
Awesome fight. Here's both chicks. You're not going to be able to tell who's who. It's the same accent, but it sounds pretty cool. Have a listen.
Every fighter is very smart before their fight with me, until the time when they get first punch.
Oh, she tagged her again. Beautiful right hand.
Not really long time ago, I became a UFC champion, and now I'm going to defend my title for the fourth time with Karolina.
We're going to have an
Kovacevic continuing to throw hands in the pocket. And more combinations!
She's a very tough opponent. She's got so many experience. She's got the KO power. But I'm too fast for all of them, you know? I'm the best champion. I'm on different level, that's all.
Total domination by Yun Jacek.
She said that I'm not at her on her level, that I never fight with her. Now, I am ready. Are you ready?
She got tagged. Karolina beating her up here.
Both these women are undefeated, and they have faced each other in the past as amateurs, with Joanna Jędrzejczyk getting the win. That is the only loss that Karolina Kowalkiewicz has experienced in mixed martial arts.
But now everything changed. I am a complete MMA fighter, and I think I have stronger mentality than her. I'm giving her a big chance, and she should be happy and thankful for that, because after the fight, she's not going to be happy anymore.
So moving on to our boxing, we've got Manny Pacquiao versus the WBO welterweight champion, Jesse Vargas. So
you mentioned this one last week.
Yeah. So Pac-Man's back from the shortest retirement ever, taking on 27-1 Jesse Vargas, with his only loss coming into Manny Pacquiao's last opponent in Tim Bradley.
Senator Manny Pacquiao.
I'm about to touch on that, man.
Oh, nice.
So this is Manny's first fight while working full-time as a senator in the Philippines. Yeah. And he has been a congressman before, but obviously with the senator, there's a lot more responsibilities. Various members of Manny's camp say there's been absolutely no routine and it's just been chaos. But if you go into history, some of Manny's best performances come from just a manic training camp where he's just flying Philippines LA, Philippines, LA. He's just all over the place and training all over the place.
He's still training with Freddie?
Yeah, mate. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. But I think he just loves being busy and he really thrives in the chaos. I know I love to train, but I don't like to do the same thing at the same time every day.
Yeah.
And I think Manny's the same. Same with Mayweather. He didn't do that. He just trained when he felt like training. He'd get the work done. Don't worry about that. But sometimes he'd be there at 2 a.m. Other times it'd be midday.
Yeah.
And I can definitely relate to that. So here's some audio on the fight.
This fight, when you think about Manny Pacquiao, was he going to stay retired? We all figured he'd be back at 37 years old. We'll see what he has. He's got that double duty of being a full-time senator, to which he is more committed than I've ever seen Manny Pacquiao.
You are manifesting how it is to be the salt and light of this world.
Being a senator, I can still prove that I'm a good boxer. Even I'm busy with my work in the Senate, I can still manage my time, I can still focus.
He's got to go train late at night, putting in 12, 13-hour days between the politics and the boxing. He's not a young buck, and that could come back to haunt him.
I always envisioned Senator Manny Pacquiao fighting for the world title, and President Manny Pacquiao fighting for the world title. We have a lot more Manny Pacquiao in us. He's still very good. He hasn't slowed down at all.
when you work hard and sacrifice in training, I don't think the fight is hard.
Jesse Vargas is a fighter who has earned his way up the ladder the hard way. Nothing's been given to Jesse Vargas. He's a two-time division champion. He really has a chip on his shoulder. He's got a lot to prove as to why he's in the ring against Manny Pacquiao come November 5th.
I'm 27 years old. I'm in my prime. I have all it takes to beat Manny Pacquiao.
Be too fast. Yes, sir. Faster than. Let's go. Jump up.
There's a certain chemistry. Every fighter has that one trainer or vice versa, they click. Dewey Cooper, I think he found his kindred spirit. I don't think we'll be seeing Jesse Vargas fighting anytime soon without Cooper in the corner.
It's gonna come down to guts. It's gonna come down to who wants this the most, okay?
Him and Cooper have a certain chemistry that cannot be taught. It can't be manufactured. It's an intangible. It's either there or it's not.
I've known Jesse since he was a kid. We came up together from the Mayweather boxing lineage. He trained with Roger Mayweather. I trained with Jeff Mayweather. We're at the same gym, same time. We grew up together fighting. He can punch, he can box, he can brawl. He has a good chin. He was the underdog in like his last 7-8 fights against really stiff opposition.
There's gotta be a...
Oh! He cuts him! Him almost went down!
I'm gonna whoop Manny Pacquiao's ass. November 5th, you don't know what you're talking about, and I'm gonna shut you up.
All I can say is this is not a movie, that there's a revenge. This is a sports, I mean, nothing personal. Well, that's good. It will encourage him to focus and to train hard for this fight.
We're gonna be in incredible shape, and I think that's an attribute that it takes to defeat Manny Pacquiao. You can't be flat-footed, you can't be slow, and Jesse has the athletic ability to conquer that moment.
Manny knows it's not enough just to win. Fans are fickle. They want knockouts in boxing. You gotta give the people what they want. Manny will figure them out and take them to school by the end of the night and knock him out at the end.
Who are you afraid of?
God.
That's it?
Yes.
No man.
No man.
So yeah, that's on this weekend. So I dare say it will be his last fight, but who bloody knows? Mm. It's hard to say no to a $25 million guaranteed purse. So
it's not bad, isn't it?
It's not bad.
Not a lot I wouldn't do for $25 million, Ben.
And I mean, and he's probably got however many hundreds in the bank.
Yeah.
And $25 million US goes an awful long way in the Philippines.
And doesn't Duterte give him like 10 grand every time he kills someone?
Probably. And I reckon a senator ain't getting paid too bad either.
Probably not.
So good on him, mate. But even with his fight with Mayweather, with all the money, that he gave like 40% of it to charity.
Yeah, that's
right.
That's
hundreds of millions of dollars, mate. Yeah. So he's a good dude, man. And that wraps it up for Bifarama this week. And I'll be back next week.
Lovely.
He's a world champion with countless belts. He's a guy who struggles to find a good fitting belt. You're listening to the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty Masters and Ben the Governor Edwards.
Our other wonderful sponsor on the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast is the crew at Lang's Auto, Yass Road in Queanbeyan. Johnny's back at work after his big S-Car paid trip, and I know he's already looking forward to the next one. The group that went away, everyone in the S-Car paid this year, about $1.2 million they raised for Camp Quality, which
That's
is
awesome.
Great. Benny, you did text me today asking for Lang's number. How'd you go?
I did. The soccer mom van's in there.
It is?
Yeah, it's getting serviced and some new
tyres.
So you're
going to
keep it? I don't know.
You still haven't made up your mind?
Probably, I don't know. Depends if I can get it for free.
It's funny. You've been umming and ahhing about this. And in that whole time, I've traded my car and got a new one.
You don't mess around.
I've spoken to Langs and went, okay, we're going to
have to
upgrade the exhaust. So
this
give
is
me
like
one of those.
A 12-month process for me. But they called me today and said, they've totally serviced it, new tyres.
Yeah.
It's all good to go, but they probably don't think the electrics is actually worth fixing based on the value of the car.
Right.
So we'll have to wait and see what happens there. But I'm sure it'll be running like a dream. So nice. We'll fix it up for me.
There you go.
So you'll hear me coming still, a mile away next week.
You still might be buying a new car yet.
Yes.
Or a new second-hand car yet. But no matter what kind of car you got, whether you want a new exhaust, whether you want to get your electrics fixed in your soccer mum van, you need tyres, auto, electrical work, whatever, the guys and girls at Lang's Auto will get it sorted for you. 44 Yass Road in Queanbeyan. Get booked in now because every man and his dog in the last 2 weeks before Christmas, everyone goes, "Oh, we're driving to Queensland. Better get my bloody car serviced. Hello, Langs, can I get in? What do you mean, no? What do you mean you've been booked out since November? Oh, f**k." So you don't want to have that happen to you, do you?
I hate that punter.
Do you hate that punter voice? My go-to punter voice? Just book your car in now, then you can drive wherever you want for Christmas. Langs Auto, 44 Yass Road in Queanbeyan. Yeah, they're really good. I like them a lot.
Now, on the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast, it's time to get loud and local. Here's something you probably haven't heard before.
Yeah, well, we thought we'd do another flashback this week because we haven't had too much new music sent into the podcast, and the call is always out there for local bands, new local bands who've got product, who want to get featured and get a bit of airplay. We're more than happy to play it for you here, Benny. You just got to send it to us.
We'll play anything.
That's right. Indeed, we will. Now, you mentioned this band last week. And a good mate of mine, Joe Holm, who's a big fan of yours. I know you see him on your Facebook page occasionally. He used to do sound for Henry's
Holm.
Anger.
Shit, Holmes.
Yeah. Joe Holm, yeah. So he used to do sound for Henry's Anger. And those boys were massive. Like, they got signed to a major label deal and did a lot of great work. And Personality Test was the first EP release when they signed their deal, and Personality Test, the song, was a dead set cracker, so I thought we'd give that a bit of a run.
That was like one of the first concerts I ever went to.
Henry's Anger? Where at?
Yeah, it was somewhere in Woden.
At the PCYC at Woden?
I wouldn't know it if you told me. It probably was, but all I remember was we walked to the bus station.
Yeah, so it was across from the mall and across from the interchange.
It was it was like a 15-minute walk to the bus station.
Woden PCYC, man. I was like 14. Used to do some sick gigs down there, like Liquid.
Is it not there anymore?
No, I think it's still there, but I just don't think they have the gigs that they used to.
Because it was a pretty awesome atmosphere.
Yeah, that was one of the places to play. Back in the 90s, like if you were a Canberra band and you got to play down there on one of the big bills, and the kids went sick.
Yeah.
I remember, before the internet, Ben. The internet ruined live music.
And I remember you'd go out into the car park and everyone would be there, have their music playing in their car. It was a really cool little atmosphere.
Yeah, nice. Well, let's get stuck into it. A bit of Henry's Anger on the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
Last week it was a rating success, so now it's time for part two of Stuff That's Happening Somewhere. And that intro music's growing on me, man.
I love it. I love that fanfare.
I didn't like it the first time I heard it.
I don't know if you would say a rating success. We did go up the Podomatic charts by about three positions last week. So,
that's
but
all right.
I still can't work out how to work out where the bloody hell we are on iTunes yet. But
you're the smartest man I know that doesn't know how to do that.
Oh, man, I've looked into it. I've sent emails.
I've got an Asian friend. I'm going to give him a call.
Is that racial?
I love him. It's an observation.
All right. So the way this segment works, Benny, you tell me a news story. I haven't heard these. I'm sight unseen, and I've got to guess which country.
Well, that's how it worked last week. I changed it for this week.
Oh, you've changed it.
I'm just telling news stories from around the world, and you just got to pretend laugh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So I don't even have to guess where it's from.
No.
Okay. Fantastic. Sorry. All right, here we go.
Now that you've said that.
Yeah.
Remember my Canadian pork reference before?
Yes.
Well, here's the story.
We're talking about the butcher shop, yeah.
Here's the story. Okay. A Canadian man is suing a hospital after an emergency operation left his penis an inch shorter. He broke his penis having sex with his wife. Now,
I had a mate that broke his doodle on the job.
You've had two mates.
What, you did it too?
I
remember it now that you did bring this up.
For those listeners that need closure. First time I ever attempted sexy time, my banjo string just snapperoo. And you can imagine, like, there's already a fair bit of blood down there anyway. And
especially the first time.
Yeah. And I was just literally just pissing blood on this chick. And she thought it was her. And I'm like, oh, it's okay. Don't worry about it. Never saw her again.
Wow. But my other mate that did it reckons he was on the ground screaming like
I was too drunk.
Gone off. Oh, right.
I just put my pants back on and pretend that it wasn't happening. And my first kickboxing fight was 3 weeks later, and it was still bleeding because every time I take a leak, I'd piss off the scab.
Wow.
It was disgusting.
Fantastic. And then if you are listening to this over your breakfast, sorry about that.
It gets worse. Yeah, okay. I got drunk at a house party with my mate Mickey Duros.
Yeah.
It was actually grand final, like 2013.
Yeah.
And I was, this is my icebreaker. I was telling everyone about it. And there was like a little bit of skin hanging off, like a size of a Tic Tac. And we were blind drunk.
To stop talking.
We were blind drunk. So my mate Mickey goes, oh, let's cut it off. We're there hammered, and he gets out the curved nail scissors that you do your toenails with.
Yeah, I know the way.
And his wife's filming it. And the first snip, he just missed an air swing. He was that drunk. And then the second one, he nicked it off and blood everywhere.
Jeez, I wonder
why. With footage. Oh, and then I went out that night blind, and I'm telling everyone, I went out to see some friends at my work. And I'm like, hey, guys, check this out. Pull my pants. It was just all these bloody tissues in my undies. It was disgusting. So anyway,
I can't wait for you to become UFC champion, right? And then this podcast is going to be dragged up by Joe Rogan.
I'll tell it live on ESPN, man. I don't care. I don't hide anything, man.
Oh, my God.
I don't hide anything. But the worst part was my first kickboxing fight was 3 weeks later.
Yeah, you were saying.
Still bleeding, man.
Yeah.
It's still bleeding. So it's just, yeah, it was crazy, man. So this guy's suing the hospital for $154,000 Australian money.
Yep.
And
for losing an inch.
So apparently, an inch is worth 150 grand. Yeah. All right, I can save up 300 grand pretty quick. So moving on, Adolf Hitler's wife, Eva Braun, has some underwear for sale, for auction on the internet. Her lilac silk underwear with her initials on it were picked up by an American soldier in an abandoned bunker next to the Eagle's Nest, which was Hitler's fortress in the Bavarian Alps.
Yeah, wow.
The undies have changed hands twice now and are now in the hands of a British collector.
So who's got them? Must be a relative.
Is she dead or is she in Argentina?
Well,
I don't know.
They claim she died at 33 with him in the bunker, didn't they?
That's what they claim. Yeah. I never saw nobody, man.
Okay. Anyway, fair enough.
That's for saving life for another day. So, bids will begin at £450. What's that, about 700 Aussie dollars?
Yeah, about 1,000. Yeah.
So,
for a pair of derps.
So, I've got your Christmas present organized.
Oh, beautiful.
Also, on a completely sort of not really related note, you know Mayweather?
Yeah.
He only wears his undies once and
throws them away.
Yeah, chucks them
New ones.
Chucks them out. And on that epic note. That's it.
Dicks, undies.
Well, what do you want, man?
Fantastic. Stevie Powers will
broken
be back
dicks
next week. Yeah.
Stevie would love this.
Need advice?
You've come to the wrong place. But Scotty and Ben will have a crack at your conundrum anyway. It's listener question time.
Indeed it is. We've got a great one on the email, and our email, if you want to send us stuff through, because we ask for questions on Facebook, you can send them via email, you can even tweet them to us if they're nice and short, but the email is uppercutpodcast@gmail.com, and we've got one from Jason Davies, and he says, Scotty, I know you love rugby league, and Ben, you love the Biff, but if you could choose to be a world beater in any other sport except your favourite, which sport would it be and why? Benny, Jason's question. Not world champion in the Biff.
Yeah.
What sport would you want to be a world beater at?
I misread that question.
What did you think it said?
I thought it just said, I didn't even really read it.
Sorry, Jason, one of us did.
That's actually a really good question.
It is. Man. I think it's a great question.
I need time to think, man. Can you go first?
Yeah, yeah. For me, I would say golf.
For the cash?
I love golf. I played a lot as a kid.
I nearly killed a kid at pitch and putt. Go ahead.
Did you? Yeah. Well, see, when I was working in Goulburn on the radio, like I played 4 or 5 days a week. I was down off single figures.
You'd have a 2K drive.
Not anymore. Not with my back and neck. But yeah, I could hit them. And I got a pretty straight swing. Like my swing was a pretty swing. I played in a lot of pro-ams and a lot of pros went, you've got a pretty swing. And it's like, well, I don't know what that means, but thanks. But I love playing, but I'm generally now my neck can't get through 18 holes. It packs it in halfway through. But golf, and yes, it would help with the coinage that those boys make because they get a fair bit of it, don't they?
Well, based upon your coinage
reference,
I'd probably have to go with something like, I don't know, maybe tennis or something. Because I'm number 5 guy on planet Earth in my sport.
Yeah.
And I'm living with my mum and Charmwood.
If you were number 5 in tennis, you'd be bloody rolling.
Yeah. If I was number 50 in tennis, I'd be rolling. So, starting tennis, man. Kyrgios, I'm coming for you, man.
There you go. Tennis and golf. I honestly thought tennis might be your answer, or basketball.
Really?
Yeah, I thought you might have said basketball.
I got nothing in basketball. Nothing? In PE, I couldn't land it accidentally.
Yeah, right. Okay.
I actually landed more shots throwing it, the ball behind me into the net than I would front. Yeah, I just front my hand, my body doesn't work like that.
Yeah,
I'd just try and aim the ball and I'd throw it straight and it'd land behind. It was just a disaster.
So there you go, Jason. I don't know if those were the answers you expected, but golf and tennis, that's what you're getting from us this week. And if you want to send us through a question, don't forget, you can do it on Facebook or do it on the email uppercutpodcast@gmail.com.
On the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
I think we got a show.
Oh yeah, we got a show.
It's listener request time.
To liven things up.
It's listener request time again. We've got Michael Clark again.
Mm-hmm.
Very faithful listener.
Well, he sent through a few questions for us. I think the odd request.
He's all over it.
He is.
It's the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty, Ben and Michael.
Here we go.
Good on you, Michael. You're a legend, mate. His request this week is from the greatest frontman band of all time, Queen, with I Want to Break Free. What are your thoughts on Queen, Scotty?
Man, great band.
Epic.
Yeah, just great band. One of the best rock
bands.
You've
got a moustache and a cape. You're the best.
Mate, you're all over it. And just the way they started, I've been a big Queen fan for years, so I've watched a lot of docos on them. And
they're greatest hits. That's my childhood.
Yeah, they came out of art school. Freddie came out of art school. You know, Brian was a bloody...
astrophysicist.
And Roger Taylor, drummer, was just rooting anything that moved. And John Deacon became an accountant.
Were they all gay?
He looked after... No. Freddie was bi. He went out with Samantha Fox for a long time.
I don't know who Samantha Fox is.
Old Paige Seeger. I bet your dad does. You ask your dad. You're showing your 10.
I see his eyes light up.
She was a Paige Seeger girl on like the Daily Mail always with her boobs out.
Yeah.
She sang that song, Touch Me, I Want Your Body.
Oh, it's she's hot. Blondie.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a beautiful girl.
Yeah, well, that was her. So Freddie.
Bloody hell, Freddie.
Yeah, Freddie nailed her for a while. So there you go.
That's awesome.
But
I love him even more now.
And this song, the clip for this, was based off the UK serial Coronation Street.
And that went for about 400 years.
I think it's still going. And they all dressed up as their favourite characters in Coronation Street. And, of course, Freddie was dressed as a woman.
So that's their neighbours at Home and Away.
Pretty much. Yep, that's right. So that and EastEnders and things like that. Yeah. And that's where the idea for this clip came from. So let's get it on. Great song. Want to Break Free from Queen. Stick around. A couple of uppercuts coming your way before we end the podcast next.
Break free. I want to
There they are, Queen, and I Want to Break Free for Mick, who sent that through on Facebook if you want to get a request.
How do you know he goes by Mick?
Oh, I don't. I'm just assuming, Ben. I'm getting
Michael, man.
Well, he keeps sending stuff through. I'm sure friends call him Mick.
I'd like to let's think abbreviate. I'm Micka.
We've played him a few songs now. I'd like to think we're friends.
Clarky.
Surely. mate, next week, Stevie P will be back in Australia, back with another disease, and we'll have a chat to him and see how he's travelling. You're the one that started it. I didn't say what disease. Maybe a bloodborne disease from a mozzie. Who knows?
Malaria. He's getting malaria.
Yeah, oh, man, I tell you what. When we played in the Solomon Islands, they gave us these things called doxycycline tablets to take to stop malaria.
Did you know? Sorry.
Where you go?
Malaria has killed more people than any other disease, war, or anything, apart from old age and natural causes, than any other.
Killed more people than service station lettuce and egg sandwiches?
Yes, slightly.
Really?
Yes. Okay. Malaria has killed more people than any other disease ever.
Wow.
By like a considerable amount.
More than the Black Plague.
Yep.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Well, these tablets they gave us, we had to take them for 2 weeks before we went to the Solis. We had to take them while we were there, and we had to take them for two weeks.
What does it do? Does it make you immune or not appealing to mozzies?
Well, yeah, I don't know what it was, because generally if I'm at a barbecue and there's a mozzie around, it's on me anyone. I'm the same, that blood type. But yeah, it didn't get bitten over there, and I don't know what it was, but geez, the dreams you had on these things. Like I would talk, laugh, cry, yell, scream in my sleep more than I normally do.
You got any left?
No. I don't think I have. You can get the same effect just by eating rancid chicken, I do believe. So just leave some chicken out of the step.
I don't know about that, man.
Have a go there and see how you go. So Stevie will be back next week. Plenty more songs and all sorts of stuff. And obviously we'll have a wrap-up of Manny Pacquiao's fight next week on Bifurama.
Yeah, it should be a good one.
But two uppercuts now, mate, so you can start us off.
Well, I've been house-sitting for a friend.
You have?
The last 2 weeks, just around the corner from you here in Queanbeyan. Mm-hmm. And everything went well. Beautiful house, looking after the puppy and the cat.
Yeah.
Nothing bad to say, all good times. Yeah. And I spoke to a mutual friend of ours today, Mickey Duros.
Yeah.
And Mickey's like, oh, how did you feel about what happened with Haysto's car just before he left overseas? I'm like, what are you talking about? And my mate Mickey said, Haysto put his dog out in the morning while he was having brekkie, his dog out to go to the toilet, and he went out to bring the dog back in, and there was a guy driving out of his driveway in his car. This little junkie dude. In his car driving. And it's a Hilux too, so they must have known what they were bloody doing.
Yeah.
And Haysto's jumped in the passenger seat. They had a full-on fist fight. This is like 6:30 in the morning. Probably earlier, because he's a scaffolder, so he's on site at 7.
Yeah.
So they're punching on. It's crack of dawn. This other guy jumped in, who was in another stolen car. So there's two junkies belting him, trying to steal this car. And so anyway, a week later, he's like, oh, Benny, do you want to house sit for me? We're just going away to Bali for 2 weeks and there's nothing else to report. So he didn't even bloody tell me.
Probably because he thought if the junkies took one look at you, they'd just piss bolt.
Mate, we all know I'd sleep through it. and secondly, I've been driving, because the soccer mum van's been out of action for a couple of weeks, so there would have been my poor old mum's car that would have got nicked.
That's a Commodore, though. You can't steal Commodores, Ben. They're steel-proof.
Better than Hiluxes?
Steel-proof.
All right. Yeah. All right. So... you're going to get an uppercut, mate.
All right.
But let's hear your uppercut first, Scotty.
Oh, mine.
We'll do both at once.
Okay, all right, here we go. I didn't even read into the story. I just saw a headline online for a new product that's apparently a thing, and I'm guessing in New York and maybe Milan and stuff. My uppercut this week, yes, is to the inventors of a product called Scrotox. And so, that's exactly what it is. It's Botox for your ball sack.
Is there a demand?
apparently, maybe for porn. I don't know. Maybe blokes don't want their nuts to look like a walnut when they go down there. But that's the whole idea. Like the scrotum is your body's air conditioner. It moves your balls in and out. It is what it's for. Like you notice when you're freezing. How big is your walnut? It's tiny, isn't it? Right?
It's like a date.
Keeps them close to your body to maintain temperature for sperm production.
Oh, I just love how...
When it's stinking hot, it looks like Julia Gillard's neck. It's hanging right down.
I just love how the most important organ for the survival of the human race is an unprotected sac outside of the body. Good one. Good one, God. You idiot.
So, yeah, I don't know. Who decided that your balls shouldn't be wrinkly?
Is it a porn thing?
I don't know what it is, Ben.
That's crazy.
It's insane. I mean, Botox has good use. I know to people that sweat profusely, maybe we could get some for you. They use Botox to stop people sweating.
Yeah, I've heard that. Yeah. I've heard that. But I embrace my sweat, man. You do. I embrace my sweat and my walnut nuts.
That's why your skin's so lovely, Benny.
Thanks, man. You too, man.
There you go. So, all right, are we ready? Let's give him one.
It's a double, man.
A dual uppercut. Here we go.
I'm ready.
Oh, that was a pearler, wasn't it? There was plenty of Viking weight behind
mate,
that.
Mate, with a broken hand and all.
Yeah. And not bad. You don't have the brace on
I
this
took
week,
the brace
Benny.
Off. I was supposed to take it off, like, in 2 weeks, but it feels pretty good.
Yeah, nice. Okay. Oh, so it's off early, is it?
Yeah. But it feels pretty good. It's a weird injury, man. As I said to you off air, it's like, it feels fine unless someone shakes it too
don't
hard.
Shake Benny's hand in the next 2 weeks. Just give him a fist bump. Fist bumps don't hurt. Handshakes do.
Exactly. So shaking and baking.
Nice work, mate. Well, that is it. That is us done for another week here, episode 25, quarter of a century. Who would have thunk it?
Who would have thought? Yeah, that's amazing.
So, as I say at the end of every week now, get a big black dog up here.
Do we have to thank our sponsors first?
Well, of course.
I'm thanking them again.
I'm the just butcher making sure you're paying attention.
The Butcher
Benny.
Shop in Dixon and Cayley.
Yeah, nice.
And Lang's Auto at 44 Yass Road in Queanbeyan.
Now get a big black dog up here.
And that's all. See you, folks. I screwed it up.
You screwed up your own sign-off.
Bugs Bunny influenced me the wrong way. He's the one who used to say that, didn't he?
No. No, I don't know. That's all, folks. That's all, folks, was Porky Pig.
Oh, God damn it.
Well, that's a wrap. Not sure if we solved the problems of the world, but if we didn't, Ben can put those problems to sleep with a well-timed ride. And then Scotty can write a scathing diatribe and give them another tongue-lashing in the next episode of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Hey, at least they played some kick-ass music, right? This podcast couldn't be made possible without our sponsors, Lang's Auto Centre in Queanbeyan and The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen. Until next time. Oh, no.